There probably have been times in your life that you have probably been away. You've been away from home and you longed to be back at home. This story that in January of 1978, a man returned to Washington, D.C. This is not going to work. Maybe. I don't know if it's going to work or not. It's a new gadget. Anyway. He returned in 1978 to Washington, D.C. When he had left 4 years earlier in shame and disgrace. He left not as a hero, but as a villain of America. He returned in January of 1978 because there was someone that was a friend, a political friend who had passed away. He returned to the funeral to give his respects. He was there at the casket. He's at lying in state. He viewed the body, and then when it stood by himself over by the wall, no one went over there to see him. Nobody went over there to talk to him. Then came in to the time of respects being paid, Jimmy Carter, the President of the United States. He walked into the room and to pay the respects to the deceased as well, and he saw this man standing over against the wall by himself. He walked over there, put his arm around him, and said, "Welcome home, Mr. President. Welcome home." The man that was there was Richard M. Nixon, who had resigned his office and left in shame from Washington. Returning home is not always easy. For Richard Nixon, that wasn't easy. But we need to return home. There are times we need to return home. There are times we get away from home and we need to go back home. We need to go back to where we belong. Luke chapter 15, are you with me? I don't know about this. I think I like the old one better. Luke 15, begin with me, verse 11. And Jesus said, "There's a certain man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me a portion of goods that falls to me.' And so he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, he took the younger son and gathered all together and journeyed into a far country. And there he wasted his possessions in prodigal living. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no man gave it to him. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion. He ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here, and let us kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." God can't wait for those of his people to come home. Maybe it is like us. It's hard for us to come home. It's hard for us to pick up the pieces and go back home. Maybe it's because of our shame. Maybe it's because of pride. Maybe it's because of lots of reasons, but whatever the case may be, maybe like Richard Nixon, it was hard to do that. And maybe when we get back, we're afraid what we're going to get is what we saw in the story of Richard Nixon, a cold shoulder, nobody talking to, nobody's going to receive us. Everybody's just sitting there just saying, what are you doing back here? So sometimes it's real hard for us to pick up the pieces and go home. But God wants us home. God doesn't want any of his children. No, he doesn't want any of us gone away from home. He wants us in his house. And so what Jesus does is he tells this parable about this lost son that went out and wasted his substance and riot his living. And he then figures out, you know what? I've made a terrible mistake. I've made a terrible mistake. I was in the Father's house and I was there, and you know what? I had it all, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it. The servants, the hired servants my Father has are better off than where I am right now. And look, I think how it is to come to a realization of really why we're where we are. How hard it is for us to do that, for this son here to begin to look at himself and really see where he's at, and then understand the reason why I am here is not my Father's fault, it is my fault. Because all the time, we've always got reasons why it's always somebody else's fault. Don't I'm where I am. I'm not happy. I'm not pleased. It's everybody else's fault. Or maybe in some cases, it's God's fault. We even get to that point where we will blame God for it. We'll say, well, God's done it. No, God's not done anything to you, and it's not anybody else's fault. Oftentimes, why we are where we are is because we have made choices that have put us where we are, and that's why we're there. And we need to realize that. We need to realize that that's what it is, how hard it was for this prodigal who is away from home to really begin to realize this is what this is all about. This is why I'm sitting here. I'm feeding these pigs in this slop yard, and I'm not having enough to eat for myself. But I can go back home and be a servant in my Father's house. I think that says something about what he knew about his father. Now, I don't know what he got and what he expected was the same, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want to tell you, he knew, he said, I will go back to my father, and I will say, make me as one of your hired servants. You know, he felt like his father would at least give him that much. He didn't ever feel like that his father would ridicule him, and his father would say, no, I don't want to see you again. Now, that was possible. But he did have the mind that I can try to go back. I can try to go back. And he swallowed his pride. He swallowed his pride and he went back. Pride is a terrible thing. Pride is a terrible thing. Pride will keep us from doing the things that we know we ought to do. It keeps us from doing the things that are right. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. But here the younger son let the pride go and went back. I can do this. But then only see that not of the only the prodigal away from, but we see the father and the prodigal. You know, what he does, finally gets up and he goes and he comes to his father. And you know what? He's rehearsed what he's going to do. You ever rehearse what you're going to do? You're going to talk to somebody and you think, okay, I got to talk to them. So I need to make sure I get my wordings down. So I go through and I say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Y'all ever do that? No. Y'all looking at me like, you don't, this guy's crazy. You talk to yourself. Yeah, okay, I do. You know, hey, guys, listen. You're going to ask a girl out for a date. Do you not think about what you're going to say before you ask the girl out for a date? Or you just think, okay, I'm just going to go ask her out for a date. Okay. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just let it fly. I mean, you know, maybe you just say, come over to my house and look at my carpet. I mean, I don't know what you, but, you know, you might think about what you're going to do before you do it. Okay. So, he sits there and he thinks, I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven before you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. He's got it all rehearsed. He's practiced that. He's got it in his mind. I've practiced this. I know I can get these words out. I'm ready, and here I go. And so he goes. He arises, and when he's yet a great way off, he didn't even get to his father. You know, I mean, he's sitting there thinking, okay, I got time to say what I'm going to say. But no, he didn't even get to his father. It says when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He saw him. He saw him. What does that tell me about his father? His father was looking for him. You know, the text doesn't say here how long he was gone. But verse 29, we didn't read that verse, but if you look at verse 29, when the older brother is there and he's talking to him, he says to his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, I've never transgressed your commandment. Lo, these many years, this could possibly be that he was gone from his father's house for quite a while. Not just a week or two. Not just a few days. Not even maybe just a month. But maybe months and months and months and months and months. But you know what? The father was still looking. The father was still looking. And when he got there, his father didn't say, well, who in the world is that? Think about the changes that are made in people over many years, as the text may indicate. I told you that if I put a picture of you, me up on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, I said when I was in high school, you would probably think, is that you? That's you with that hair? We change over time. We may not think we do. We may go to a class reunion and say, well, everybody else has changed but me. But I'm going to tell you, all of us change. And you know, over a period of time, it might be hard, and it might be easy for us to say somebody and say, well, they look like somebody I ought to know, but I don't know who that is. You ever done that? Seen somebody you hadn't seen long time, it's somebody I ought to know. But his father had no doubt because it was his son. It was his son. He knew the way his son walked. He knew probably the gait he had. He knew the way he, you know, whatever. He knew it. He saw him. And notice what it says he did. He ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. He didn't wait for him to get all the way. He didn't say, well, let's see if he makes it all the way. He's here. He's there. Can he make it to me? Will he stop short? No. He has compassion. He runs. He falls on his neck. And he kisses him. I think this is a beautiful picture. What a picture of the father and his accepting his son back when his son has been gone for so long. Here his son who was dead is alive again, as he says. He was lost and is found. But I want us to notice what he goes on and says in the text. When the son says to him, verse 20, 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Verse 22, the father interrupts him. You remember what he had practiced to say, and that is what? Make me as one of thy hired servants. But he stops him. He says to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. The robe here is a picture of the authority. It is the ring and the sandals of the shoes. Servants didn't wear that. Only the family of the master would do that. Everything about this, the robe, the ring, the sandals, everything about this, besides the microphone. We're going to get this fixed one of these days. All right. But everything about this says, you are my son. You are back. You are where you belong. You are not a servant. He never asked to be a servant, did he? The father took that away. He didn't wait for him to show. No, he just, when he came back, his father said, you're back, and I'm putting you right back where you were. What a beautiful picture. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. How we like to hear that word, welcome home. You go off and you go on somewhere for a while, and you come back and people say, boy, we are glad to see you, so you're welcome home. Welcome home. Friday night, our annual singing, there were people who were here who had attended here years ago. And you welcomed them back to Market Street at the singing. And they said they were so glad they were here. You welcomed them home. We like to be welcomed home. What we don't see the father doing is we don't say, well, let's put him on probation. Let's see how he handles it. Let's try him out for 6 months and see how it works. No, that's not what we see. We see him say, here, you're home, you're back, you're right where you belong, and you are not going to be one of my hired servants. And so what does he call for? He calls, verse 23, for a celebration. Bring the fatted calf. Let us kill it and eat and be merry. Oh, what a beautiful. It's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate. You know, you're restored, you're back in your place, and we're not only going to put you back in your place, but we are going to have a celebration. We're going to invite everybody to come, and everybody is going to know you are home. You're not going to just slide in and somebody says, oh, he got back. Yeah, he got back. We're glad you're back, and we're welcoming you back. We're throwing a party. That is a beautiful picture of the prodigal's welcome home. The story Jesus tells, I think, is quite a touching story. I can't help but think about this story a lot because I think about the people who are in the audience. I think about the people who are listening to this story, and I think about how they are listening. As Jesus begins and he says, and there was a certain man who had two sons. To which my ears perk up. I've got two sons. I've got two sons. Or maybe there are those who are in the audience who are sitting there saying, I am one of two sons. Or I know somebody who has two sons. But the question is, where am I in the parable? Where am I in the parable? Am I the prodigal who's sitting out there long away from home, the days to come back home? Or am I the prodigal who's made a determination that I'm going to do what is right and I'm going to go back home? Or am I the older brother who's there, and when the brother comes back, and we didn't read this part, but is jealous? Let's look at that part. It says in verse 25, it says, "Now the older brother was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house and heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, 'Your brother has come because he has received him safe and sound. Your father killed the fatted calf.'" Verse 28 says, "But he was angry. It would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. And he also answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you, and I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this your son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said unto him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.'" Two things I want to notice for you right here. One is the older brother. What did he say? "As soon as this, your son," not my brother. What does the father say to him? He says, "This is your brother." I don't know about this. Your brother. He wasn't going to let him escape that. He wasn't going to let him escape the fact that this is your brother. And what's your attitude about your brother? You're angry. You're not going to go in. You're not going to celebrate. You ought to, because he's back safe and sound. I think how we need to see picture. I think about Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, that says this, even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. That's God speaking. He says, I blot them out. I don't remember them. That's not the older son. The older son said, I remember everything about it. But then they may ask, maybe you're the father who's ready to receive the one back. Who, if you will, does what Isaiah says, blots out, forgets, does not remember those iniquities, doesn't remember those shortcomings. No, the son is back, safe and sound. He's restored, he's back home. And welcome home, welcome home. Praise God for salvation. Welcome home. I will tell you, all of us fit somewhere in the parable. But where do we fit? Maybe we need to come home. Maybe we are at home. Maybe we need to have the attitude of the Father at home. But whatever we need to do, we need to make whatever changes we need to make to be at home, to be in that place that is prepared and waiting for us, to be in that place that Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. A place that we may dwell with God, that he will be our God. And we can dwell and be at home with him. And this morning, if you're not at home, you're not where you need to be in your relationship with God, then this morning we would encourage you to do that. To make whatever changes you need to make your life right in the sight of God. we can assist you this morning in doing that. Won't you come while we stand and sing?